sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all Scripture is God-breathed and inspired and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is so awesome to see all of you today. We give God glory for this day, and thank you that you did not let the weather hinder God from moving in your lives today and discourage you. And thank you for not letting even physical ailments hinder you, but trusting in the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So today we are concluding this message series on revival, the fire, the fan, and the flame. We talked how the fire of God comes and ignites revival, but it comes when we have placed ourselves at His altar. It comes when hearts are calling and desperate for God and want Him. He sends His fire to anyone willing to receive. Last week we talked about the fan, that it's our job. We are the priests, and the priests are responsible for the fire. It is the priests who are responsible to keep it going, to fan it. And we talked about how God sends the fire, but it's quenched when man decides to go apart from what God is doing. And our job is to line ourselves up with what God is doing. Asking God, Holy Spirit, what is it that you are doing and how can I come along? How can I get with you on this? How can I see what you're doing and take part in it? Not my will, but yours. It will be my joy to say, your will, your way, God. It's a joy to line up to see what you are doing and get involved in it. And it takes faith. It takes sometimes getting out of your comfort zone. It takes taking a chance. It takes taking a chance. And for those that weren't in prayer this morning, I have to tell you, we were laying hands over Donna, if I might share this, who was standing in for her son, who was deathly ill this morning before church. And she was struggling to even come because of that. And the Holy Spirit was moving. My right hand could not stop shaking. I felt the power of God. And the Holy Spirit said, declare, just as in my word, when they laid hands and told people, rise, be healed and rise. When we prayed over him, this was at 10:15. Out of the blue at 10:20, he walked into prayer. All right, this is God. But you know what? It's not comfortable to make declarations when you don't have, you know, you're in control of. But in order to fan the flames, that's what we need to do. We need to trust in the Holy Spirit of God inside of us. And when we take those steps of faith, He encourages our faith. He encourages our faith. So today we're going to talk about the flame itself. It's our job to fan it, to keep it going. But what happens when you fan the flame? What happens with the flame? See, the flame is the result of what God is doing. It is the result of when we pray in faith, something happens because God is doing it. It's the result of saying, God, what are you doing? Oh, this is what you're doing? Let me get alongside of you, and then having Him finish the work. That's the flame. It's the evidence or the outcome of what God is doing. Whether it's healing, whether it's deliverance, whether it's a performance of some kind of miracle that we're stepping into that God wants to do. It's an increase in the passion and the hunger for God, that we want more of God and more and more and more. As we've been mentioning, I've been quoting a lot of Bill Johnson, as we've been saying, because his church, Bethel, they were 15, 20 years ago where we are today. And a lot of stuff that he says kind of resonate with me personally and with us regarding our church of what God is doing. And one of the things he says is, I must accurately represent Him until I can accurately represent Him. I must accurately represent him before I can accurately represent him. In other words, I have to be Jesus. It's his spirit in me to so many people. I have to show them the evidence of Jesus in life, what he does, what the Holy Spirit can and will do. I have to be the one to do these things. See, Acts 1:8 says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." See, this is the testimony that Jesus told his disciples you're going to do. What happens? The fire came down. What did they do? They fanned the flame. Because as we shared last week, they got out there. They didn't just stay in that upper room, 120 of them, and just basked in the flame, in the fire. They fanned it. How did they fan it? They went into the streets and started preaching and started touching. What was the result of the flame? Thousands got saved. A few days later, more thousands got saved. A few weeks, months later, they were spreading out all over the world, making a difference for the kingdom of God. It was the evidence of the flame. It was the result of the flame. We read about in the book of Acts, and I'm just throwing stuff out at you right now, where you had an apostle go into a city never before heard of Jesus. He preached Jesus, and boom, they get saved. Then another apostle shows up and says, "Hey, did you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" "No, but we were baptized into repentance." "Great, Holy Spirit, come." And they receive the Holy Spirit. The flame is burning and changing lives. See, talking about Jesus, just talking about him can encourage people. But you take that talk and you actually let him break through, it goes to a whole nother level. When we're just talking about Jesus, it's just up here. But when we experience his presence in his Holy Spirit, that's where the breakthroughs happen. We'll keep saying this as long as I am pastor here. The purpose of this church is to get into the presence of Jesus, is to encounter his presence and let him touch us and speak to us. If there is nothing we do as a church, but get into the presence of Jesus, we've done our job. And not just when we come together, but to equip everyone in this body to get into his presence in their bedroom, in their workplace, in their backyard, whatever it might be. Whatever it might be. A couple of days ago on Tuesday morning, you know, I get up early to spend time with the Lord. And this time the Lord said, just lay down on the couch downstairs. So I got up, 4:30, laid down on the couch. I said, and you know what? Holy Spirit came over me, and it was like I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I was in a way slain by the Holy Spirit because I just didn't want to get up. Just felt his presence flowing through me, and he ministered me that carried into everything I did that day. Just getting into the presence of God, the result of the flame. Quote from Bill Johnson, "We begin to realize that some of the things we work so hard for actually come with his presence." See, as I fan that flame is the presence of God that is past, that is burning, that's rising as we fan it. That flame is the presence of God touching someone's life, working in someone's life, changing their life, moving them to a whole new dimension and degree of their walk and their lifestyle, moving them into their destiny, what they're being called and created to do. That flame changes, but it's his presence. That flame houses his presence. Like the burning bush, his presence was there speaking to Moses. See, and what does Scripture says? Where the presence of the Lord is, it is holy. We enter his presence and we become holy. We become touched. To be holy is to be cleansed, is to be purified, is to be made pure in the eyes of God. His presence does that. His presence speaks unto us. I want to read you this. Psalm 73, 16 and 17. I'm going to tell you a little story about this afterwards. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. See, this little scripture is such a powerful turning point. If you read the first 15 verses of chapter 73, and I shared this on the Wednesday night Bible study a little bit, what the Lord's been showing me. David is complaining. He's complaining the wicked are succeeding. The wicked, the unrighteous are profiting. A lot of great things are going on in their life from appearance sake, because he's seeing it through human eyes. And he's frustrated and angry. Why are the righteous suffering and the wicked succeeding and doing well? But what happens? Here in verse 16 and 17, he says, but now I get into your presence. I get the sanctuary where the presence of God is. And then if you read the verses 18 and on, he basically says, oh, I see their fate. I get it now. I see what their true outcome is. Why? Because in the presence of God, his spiritual eyes were open. He began to see things his human flesh would not let him see. He saw their demise. He saw their end. And he saw the victory of the righteous in the name of the Lord. But in order to do that, in order for his mind to change, his attitude to change, his focus to change, everything about him to change, he had to get into the presence of the Lord. He has to get to where the flame was. Because that flame, we know fire does two things. It purges off sin and purifies. And it burns within our soul. His flesh had to be purified. Sin had to be purged. His bitterness, his jealousy, his attitude about life had to be changed. And the Holy Spirit had to open his eyes. And he did that when he got into the presence of God. See, we want to get excited about the things of God and we want God to do things, but he does them when we change. And he does them through us. When we take those chances, when we take those steps of faith, when we move with him and let him change me so that I can impart on you the changes in me. As that he pours into me things of the Holy Spirit, new knowledge, new wisdom. Now I have something to share with you. I've said this countless times. Every time I'm up here speaking to anyone, all I'm doing is sharing what the Holy Spirit showed me. That's it. I'm not here preaching to you because I got it all figured out and I'm just wanting you to get in line with it. I'm sharing with you, God, what do you want to teach me so I can teach them? So I can take what you're giving me and pour it out. That's all it is. It's just a continuation of the revelation of God. That's all it is. We're on this journey together. But I want to fan that flame so hot that I want that flame to burn in me so that I can touch, I can speak, I can move. His presence flowing in me will change the atmosphere, change the culture. Let what God doing restructure and change the culture around me. If everybody is having a pity party, I want to come in with the flame of the Lord that is filled with his joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength, and I want to burn off that nastiness and fill that room up with the joy of the Lord. We have a friend, and I saw it just come to light one time. We were at a birthday party for someone. And there was a lot of tension in the room for some reason, because there was two people in the room that had issues going on. But it was kind of unspoken. And we all kind of felt it but didn't know what to do about it. Then this friend just stood up and I brought my guitar with me. She said, go get your guitar. Brought my guitar. And this friend just started praising. And the fire of God, the flame of God in her, And then it was imparted with me and a couple of other people. All of a sudden, changed the atmosphere to the point there was complete healing at that place that night when God was through. It changes the atmosphere. The flame changes lives. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to change our lives so that our lives would line up in better fellowship with Him. That our hearts will be one with Him. That's His purpose. He wants these to impact us. We're not just doing feel-good things. We don't want a feel-good service. We want a life-changing transformation encounter with Jesus Christ that we're embracing His flame, embracing His presence, and we're taking Him with us. Not leaving it in this place or anywhere else that we may have encountered it. We might as well not have touched the flame if we leave and leave it behind. Because the purpose is to make disciples, to get out there, to impact lives. Sometimes that means getting together with a bunch of people and just worshiping Him. Sometimes it's one-to-one. I need to pray for you. I need to minister to you. Lord's teaching me to take chances more and more. You know, my friend at work, she's traveling to Florida Friday night following that storm. Friday morning, my wife and I were praying, and just the Holy Spirit said, pray for her and her flight. So we did. When we got to work, I said, I just want you to know we prayed for you and for your flight and everything. It was an 8:30 at night flight. We watched the clock tick by. Plane was still on time. The storm moved out to sea. And we were commenting. And she goes, thank you for praying out of the blue. You know what? That's a testimony. That's a flame. That's an acknowledgement of something God is doing. She might not have fully embraced it or received it, but she knows it's there. And now they're... Through prayer, there may be a draw that the Holy Spirit would just keep drawing her and anyone else there. The flame wants to touch lives. We don't want to just play games. See, we change culture by restructuring and changing our environment. The flame changes the environment, period. It changes attitudes, lives, hearts, actions, and love overwhelms. See, here's the thing. The flame is burning with the love of God. We always talk about how the gifts of the Holy Spirit go hand in hand with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the foundational fruit is the love of God, because God is love. If you've got bitterness, if you've got unforgiveness, if you've got hurt towards somebody, if you've got those things, that every time you think of that person or picture them in your mind or somebody mentions their name and you cringe, that's quenching the flame. And that's something His fire needs to burn off. That's something we need to get ourselves on the altar of God and cleanse and purify. Some of us are actually feeling that way towards God sometimes. And we need to repent of that. Let His love overwhelm us. So we can carry that flame. Examples, and we've seen this happen. We've seen physical healings. We've seen emotional healings, heart wounds healed, and God wants to do that some more. We've seen demons cast out. We've seen lives changed for Jesus. We've seen hope restored into the hopeless. We've seen miracles. We've seen supernatural occurrences. We've seen people filled with the Holy Spirit who had never been filled before, and they were touched forever, and now they are open. We've seen the gifts of the Holy Spirit overflowing. We've seen people recognizing, and this is the important thing, recognizing their role and their place in the kingdom of God that they never knew before. I mean, up until 2 years ago, never stuck in my head that I'm supposed to be a prince of the kingdom of heaven, co-heir with Christ. How many of us actually think of ourselves that way, you know? We've seen that change in people. We've seen hearts of stone, cold, bitter hearts, turn to hearts of flesh, and marriages saved when one was so cold that they didn't want to look at the other person. We've seen conviction that brought people to repentance and salvation. We've seen joy overflowing and holy laughter. We've seen empowered people who never had confidence in themselves, but they have now confidence in the God in them to do things they never thought they can do, and they can't without Him. We've seen believers unified in ways never before, in one accord, and that's what's the glorious thing that's taking place. As our hearts become one, see, the 120 in the upper room were, when they were in one accord, Holy Spirit fell, that fire fell. And when we're in one accord, man, that fire's fallen. And it's beautiful to see. And many more. And I'm just going to throw some things out there to you right now. I'm going to read you Acts 2, 16 to 21. This is part of Peter's preaching after the Holy Spirit fell. And he reminded them, he quoted this from the book of Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour my Spirit on all flesh. He wants to pour His Spirit on all flesh. That's His flame. That's His fire coming in the flame within us. That your sons and daughter will prophesy. We're seeing that. Young men will see visions. We're seeing that. Old men will dream dreams. You don't have to be old, but you can dream dreams. But yes, old men will have restored hope. They'll find new purpose in life. And that's what's cool. I received a picture, and Roberta, I praise God for you and your step of faith. Many months ago, Roberta, we have an HD group Thursday morning in her apartment. And many months ago, Roberta was worried about it, but she felt the Holy Spirit telling her, you need to do this. And this is her fanning the flame. And all of a sudden, she took that step of faith, reluctantly at first, but she took that step of faith. And now I received a picture this week of the people in her home group, and I couldn't believe it. There was like 8, 9 people in that home group. Half of them, I don't know who they are. They're from her building because she's burning that flame. She's burning the holy fire in that place because she took a step of faith. And it's awesome to see. And I'm so proud of you for taking that step of faith, Roberta. You thought your work was done, but your dreams, you dream dreams. Age has nothing, should never be an excuse of why we stop, whether you're too young or you think you're too old. If God gives you those things, you run with it. You run with it. And I'm proud of you, Roberta, not to say I'm too old, I'm too sick, I'm this. No, you stepped up to it. And on my men servants and on maid servants, I'll pour my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth below, and blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, Wednesday night, the eve of the big storm, we took our home group to the gazebo. My wife felt like the Holy Spirit was telling her as she was leading that section. And we got out there, and the wind was blowing. I'm not going to lie to you. And we were wondering even who will show up. But we did it, and we even prayed against the storm. She said to me earlier this morning, you know, maybe God had us go there that night to pray the storm away. Because this is the 5th or 6th time we've prayed against a storm, literally as it was forming, and it went away. Okay? This is the God of the earth, sky, sea, valleys, hills, plains, oceans, everything. And He's empowered us to do certain things. And when we line ourselves up with God, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Not gloating about this, we're not gloating, but we're thankful and giving God the glory that He may have used us that night to do something dramatically miraculous. Or been a part of many believers who joined in together in prayer that night, wherever they might have been. But we were right there on the waterfront to make a change, to do something miraculous. This is the flame of God burning in our souls and overwhelming what's going on. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with Him. And we shared this a little bit last week, this verse, that flame sets the captives free. He sets our hearts free. He sets us from bondage. Bondage is anything you've said, I can't, I won't, I will not, I will never. Bondage is anything you've told yourself that you will never be able to accomplish. The doubt. It's those things that we've accepted. It's limitations we've decided is we need to place on ourselves. Even though God says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And that when I'm in you and you are in me, whatever has been established in heaven, I can accomplish on earth. I can pull down to earth and manifest it. Why? Because it's God doing it. And I'm coming along with God to do it. He came to set our bondage. And I'll tell you what, the biggest area of bondage is up here. Right here. And when this is free, this is also free. Okay? He came to set this free and this free. Because I can be free even in physical chains, I am free. Just like Paul. How many times was Paul in prison? And what did he do? He sang and he praised and he gave God glory. Why? Because chains didn't dictate his freedom. They didn't dictate that his fire is quenched. Chains did not limit that fire from burning and making a difference and him fanning it. His heart was free. His spirit was one with the whole Spirit of God. And he moved in that will of God. I'm going to go through this. You know the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but I want to just reiterate them with you. 1 Corinthians 12:7-10. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of us for the profit of all. In other words, let it burn. To bless everyone, to move for everyone, to stir everyone up. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of the tongues. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. See, these are the things that the flame incurs. See, these are all part of the Holy Spirit, not elements of this Spirit and that Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one, it's the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of God. And the gifts are His gift. And the fruit are His fruit. So when the Holy Spirit is truly in me and given freedom to reign in me and to flow in my life and out of my life. These things are the flame. These things are the flame that touch. These things are the things that change lives. When I love somebody who I've never tried to love before, it's going to touch them. When I speak life words into someone's life who all they've heard are words of death, it's going to touch them and change them. When I bring hope to the hopeless, they will be forever changed. This is the flame that we are meant to carry, to fan, to pass. Acts 10:44-46. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of circumcision who believed were astonished as many came with Peter because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak in tongues. Peter preached to a bunch of Romans, to a bunch of Gentiles, and he had a little caravan of Jewish believers with him. And the Jewish believers were stunned when the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles who hadn't even been baptized in water yet. And they began to move mightily. Holy Spirit was poured out. Why? Because they wanted Him. They wanted the Spirit of God. They were carrying that fire. And Peter was like, hey, you want the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. You get Him. your heart's open for Him, Holy Spirit, come, let's pray. You want the fire of God? Yes, come. They've got themselves on the altar. Come, burn. Burn. Because in Christ there's neither Jew nor Gentile, no woman, no man, no slave or free. We are one in the same Spirit. And that's 1 Corinthians 2, 12-13. See, the flame also unifies. Because when the 120 that were in the upper room had those tongues of fire on top of them, they might have been individual tongues of fire, what was seen by the other person, but it was still the fire of God from the altar of God. It was still the same presence of God, Spirit of God, that was unifying them all together as one. It wasn't 120 different spirits. It was one fire. And there was plenty to go around, just like there's still plenty to go around right now. So it's our job to let Him burn and take us to that new place where we can take it to others and let that flame carry forth and make a difference in someone's life. I really pray that the last 3 or 4 weeks that we've shared about this has stirred some people up. And I know I was so blessed last week, really blessed last week when I went home and I started seeing what people were putting on social media. It really touched my heart because it's for the first time I kind of go, wow, yes, they're getting it, God. They're getting it, God. Your presence is moving, God. They're receiving and they're moving in your presence. Thank you, God. This is what we need, God. Because we can preach, we can encourage, we can speak into lives as much as we can. But it's up to the person to receive, embrace, and run and carry that flame. I can burn as hot as can be, but you have to be willing to be open to the fire of God and have Him speak to you and move in you. I can't do it for you. No one else can. It's a choice each one of us makes. And it just really encouraged me to see that happen in action, to just, in faith and courage even, to put something out there that I might have never seen someone put out there before. Not because I said anything spectacular or anything like that, but the fact that the Holy Spirit was stirring in you. You were fanning the flame and you were letting Him move. That's what encouraged me so much, and I give glory to God for that. Before we have our time of prayer, I want to do something. I want to take a moment and see if there's any specific testimonies. And not just general testimonies, but specific things that God has done in your life throughout these last 3 or 4 weeks as we've been talking about these things. New things, new steps, things that God is doing. I want to limit it to that, to about 30 seconds to a minute testimony, but just specifically, how is the fire of God has changed you in the last few weeks? And what is He doing? What is that flame? What's taking place in there? So if just want to take these few moments to share. And I'll come to you with the microphone if you want to just share and edify the body, what God is doing. Diane, can you pass this to Diane, please?
Thank you. My oldest daughter, Monica, lost her job a week ago. And she was devastated. She recently found a church that she feels really comfortable in. And so she's been very happy about church. But now she loses her job. So I said, Monica, I've been telling you for years that you have to take a step of faith and begin to tithe. You have not been tithing. And I know you love the Lord, but you just feel that, you know, all your money is yours, and it's not. I said, Jerry and I are a perfect example how God has blessed us through the tithe and even above and beyond the tithe when we give to, you know, missionaries, whatever. I said, honey, you have to look at even your sister in Florida and your brother-in-law. how faithful they are in their tithing. And your sister in Florida just got a $2 an hour pay raise at her job. Who gets a $2 an hour pay raise? Because they saw her hard work and all that. Yeah, but God saw her pocketbook because he's allowed to go into her pocketbook, honey. You have to look at these things. And how Jerry and I, we live well. I mean, we're happy with what we have. You know, we tithe faithfully since day one. I said, you're not giving God what belongs to him, but yet you expect a lot from God. So I had her in my house for 3 days, and she left last night. Unfortunately, she couldn't come to church. She works in New York in retail. But she left with such a joy. She says, Mom, I have $1,700 in cash in my apartment because I don't put my money in the bank. I'm going to tithe 10% off of that, and I'm going to give it to my church. Amen. And I'm going to do it from now on. Amen. Because if it works for you, I know it's going to work for me. So I put her on the bus to go to New York last night. She was joyful, and praise the Lord. Amen. That's all I can say is Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Can you just pass it to Sharon? Sharon behind you. Amen.
I always have something to say, don't I? In school, we were talking about when you ask someone how they are, and everyone just says, oh, yeah, I'm fine. And then you just move on. And that, in the combination of the teachings that we've been receiving here, now when someone's asked me, because life has been difficult with Mama, but when someone asked me, I said, you know, I fell at school. That was fun. I fell, but I'm making it through the day because with the grace of God. And I always give God the glory now. So if someone says, how are you? And I'm really not happy, I'm going to say, you know what? It's a really hard day, but God's going to get me through it. And now I'm hearing from my coworkers, amen. I'll pray for you. Praise God.
Amen.
And it's just introducing the Lord into the school where everyone maybe wants to say something, but they're so afraid to say it. And thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm giving this to Tommy, whether he wants it or not.
Wives, you know. So I had a dream 2 nights ago. Kind of strange. I was laying there on the ground, and there in my dream, and there in front of me, Jesus is there, and he reaches his hand down, and he picks me up, and I'm apparently in heaven. He's you know, showing me. He said, I want to show you around here, and there's like fruit trees, beautiful fruit trees all around, and it's kind of like decking is the best way to describe it, and like up at the level of the fruit, and he's saying, you know, people, you know, enjoy to come here, and the message he gave me was take only what you need. So I'm still praying to figure out what that necessarily means. But.
Amen.
Let's see. I've been coming back for a couple of weeks now, I have to say, last week I almost didn't come. I've been struggling with some things in my life, and we were discussing. Pastor Mike had mentioned if to accept the flame, you have to kind of let things go. So last week I went to the altar, and I was praying, and I was trying to let everything go. And it's funny because I was asking for forgiveness and everything, just me and the Lord. And somebody came and laid hands on me and said that, you know, God is proud of you. He forgives you. And this last mishap, you know, happened for a reason. There was something that still had to be learned. Amen. And it was definitely, who could have known? So he just has been definitely moving and working in my life. And so I just want to praise God and let you guys know.
Amen, 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 amen. Anyone else?
Well, the past several weeks, I've been getting anxious with myself because I haven't heard anything from the Lord, or, you know, nothing really spectacular has happened, and I was starting to get anxious, and I was starting to beat myself up, and, you know, I was telling myself, and I was praying, you know, Lord, what do you have for me, you know, in store. And you know, we also discussed this Thursday night at on Bible study, and you know, I've been waiting and waiting, waiting to hear something, and you know, not hearing anything. And I was beating myself up because I felt maybe it was because I wasn't, you know, getting into his word enough, or you know, if there was something that he wasn't happy with me. And all of a sudden, one morning, on my way into work, full-blown conversation, and he told me, he said, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, how much you know the word, or, you know, as long as you're looking for him and, you know, you have the thirst and the desire to, you know, seek after him, that's, you know, that's all he cares about. And, you know, he appreciates that more than anything else. And we were studying the book of Job, and our last Bible study we had, we just finished up with it, and right before we even got into the meeting, there was a question that he had put on my heart to, you know, ask everybody, and instantly, right there in the beginning of that last Bible study, it was like, that went out the window, and he just, like, started writing right away, down, you know, like everything he wanted me to say, and everything just came out, you know, on the paper. So it was pretty, you know, amazing to see how he worked.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. All right. What I'd like you to do right now, if you would stand with me, I want to ask if you guys can just play some music. Because I want everyone involved in this right now.